T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The New England Patriots are being held hostage right now.
I put the Titans and the Raiders right now as the front runners for Tom Brady's service.
It is what it is.
Dale Arnold.
Ahead to David Pastrnak on a breakaway. He scores!
Anytime I see Pastor open, give him the puck. He's one of the best players in the league, in the world. Just give him the puck, good thing happens.
Ready to drink tonight.
Rich Keefe.
The deal is already done.
Where's he going?
So I'm coming to New England.
This is Diggs being Diggs.
There's two solid rumors, I guess.
Dale and Keith, middays.
Greg Robinson was caught with a lot of marijuana.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number 3, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. NFL owners are getting the information today passed down to them from whatever negotiating committee that the NFL has put together. I'm guessing it's not Roger Goodell. He's got way too much more important stuff to worry about than negotiating a 10-year CBA.
Yeah, no, he's got other stuff he can probably figure out. Is he on vacation, maybe? He's out doing something?
He might be back in New York for this. Yeah. Owners are going to get the information today. The player reps will reportedly hold a conference call tomorrow. They were going to try to get together, and evidently they said there were logistical problems with getting everybody in one place at one time. And
is there anything you would do to the NFL playoffs to fix it? Because obviously, or not fix it, to change it to, if you think, to the better? Because right now they're going to add a team, and so now there's going to be one bye, which is pretty significant, and there's going to be 3 wild card games. So the 2 seed's not going to play the 7 seed, which I don't think belongs in the playoffs, but is there anything you would even do to tweak the playoffs?
I wouldn't, but this is what you're going to end up with. Is it fair to say that finishing first in your conference will never mean more than now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%.
Now.
Fair. Yeah. I mean, you're the only one with a bye, and it's such an advantage. I mean, the stats are through the roof on, I forget what the exact percentage is. Is it like 80% or more? Like all the teams that make it to the Super Bowl. So win or lose, just the teams that make it to the Super Bowl had a bye. And that's why there's always the story like, ooh, the Giants played wild card round or the Packers played wild card round. I mean, the Patriots are a great example. The Patriots, this long run that they have had, they've only made the Super Bowl when they have played or when they didn't have to play wild card weekend. That's pretty significant. That's a team that's made it 9 times in the last 20 years, and they've always needed the bye. Now, they haven't always been the 1 seed, so that would go to show you that, all right, well, they better get that top spot in the conference. Otherwise, you're just in the wild card round with everybody else having to play 3 games prior to the Super Bowl.
And it's certainly possible that a team, you know, just goes sprinting out and clinches that first overall seed with a couple of weeks to go. But it's easier for me to picture, you know, you got to play right till the end. If you're going to clinch that first overall seed and the all important only bye in the conference, you're probably going to have to play right up till the end.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, this year, if you look at the 2 conferences, the Baltimore Ravens finished 14-2 and the Chiefs were 12-4. So the Ravens week 18 in the league wouldn't have mattered for them.
Right.
Whereas in the NFC, you had 3 teams finish 13-3. So now you are playing it out to the end. And there's an extra game where it's essentially a playoff game, or you're at least playing for the bye. So, yeah, that's the one part of it that I don't necessarily hate, because the top team in the conference should probably have a little bit more of an advantage. Now, I know right now they have home field, so that is an advantage, right? So 2 teams have the bye, but 1 team gets to play at home. So that's a little bit of an advantage, but this does add even more pressure to make sure that you have the best record.
So the other thing that happened over the last 24 hours is Jeff Darlington, who, by the way, is a really good NFL reporter. Really good sources.
Yeah, and he seems to be with the Patriots a lot, too.
He does seem to be in and around the Patriots and with Patriot sources. He appeared on Adam Schefter's podcast. And you know, one of the things, and we've kind of hinted around this earlier in the program, is that Patriots fans may not understand the gravity of the situation.
It's as if people think it's so unfathomable that he would leave New England, and as a result, they just sit there and say, it's not going to happen. Where we need to wrap our heads around the idea of Tom Brady leaving because he is considering exactly that. This is not, that is not speculation. That is fact. And whether they can get on the same page in the next 30 days, that is the Patriots and Tom Brady, and figure this thing out, and it is a tall task from a number of different levels. Unless they can figure it out in the next 30 days, Tom Brady is gone.
Well, that's sort of ominous.
So I agree with Darlington. I mean, I've been saying he's going to be gone for a long time, but it is funny.
I haven't said he's going to be gone, but I've been saying all along.
But you're aware that
he is certainly thinking about the possibility of not playing here next year.
And I definitely agree with Jeff in the sense that people don't really grasp it. Now, it's one thing for, you know, we talk about it every single day. And a lot of the people that we talk to probably listen to sports radio a lot and are super invested in it. And that's like the number one conversation. But have you noticed anybody that you talk to that would either be sort of like a casual fan, fringe fan, somewhere in there, everybody in that category that has asked me, what do I think is going to happen with Brady? And I always say, well, I think he's gone. Every single person, their response is, really?
Yeah.
Like, they're shocked. Like, they can't believe it. And it's a wide range of people. And some aren't even really football fans, but, you know, they don't live under a rock, so they know who Brady is. Or just maybe they kind of like this. But they're all shocked by it. People in state, out of state, they can't believe that Tom Brady would actually play for another team. And then they get into, like, well, why? And all this other stuff. And you're like, no, he legitimately could be gone for the first time in his career. And I would say probably for the majority of fans out there, it hasn't really set in. Because even some of the calls that we take, Dale, how sure are they of themselves? And they're like, oh, Brady's back. I don't know why you guys are talking about it. You're like, well, why are you so confident?
Well, I think part of the confidence that some people have is centered around the owner, Robert Kraft. And many people are saying, there's no way in the world Robert Kraft lets Tom Brady go play somewhere else. He'll step in if he has to and tell Bill Belichick, you know, this is the guy I'm involved with. You've got to keep him here. But Jeff Darlington says, not so fast.
I get no sense from my conversations with people that Robert Kraft is going to step in and simply tell Belichick that he's got to keep Brady. He might tell Belichick, I want Brady here. And he might tell Tom Brady, I still want you here. But that, I do not sense, is going to be a mandate from the top. And if people think that he's just going to come in and mediate and smooth it all over, I think once again, you're sorely mistaken.
He does not think Robert Kraft will step in and save the day here for Patriots fans, those who want Tom Brady back.
Well, don't you think, and we've been keeping track, we have our big board in here, the Tom Brady stay, Tom Brady go, and it's really 50-50 right now. And I would have to imagine some of the people that are in the stay category probably are banking on, well, that Robert Kraft.
Right.
Isn't that part of the argument? Like, I don't think anybody's like, well, Belichick's going to pay him whatever they want. No, I think they know that Belichick won't. And it's a matter of, all right, the one guy that could step in and get it done and go against Belichick's wishes would be Kraft. But I don't know, Jeff Darlington's pretty tied in. He's like, no, I don't get that sense. He may definitely tell Bill, listen, I would prefer to. And, you know, however much you're willing to go, I'm willing to support that part of it.
Right.
But if your decision is we're moving on, or if your decision is we're not going off of this number in this many years, then it's your team. And that actually, I think it's probably tough for a lot of fans to hear, but that is the smart business move by Kraft. Belichick's going to be here longer than Brady is.
And Belichick's been pretty good at this whole thing.
I would say
thing,
so.
You know? And
I would say so.
This is not one of those who's more important Belichick-Brady arguments. My point
no,
is
but at 43,
the guy who's run the franchise here for 20 years has done a really good job at it, being in 9 Super Bowls and winning 6.
If you had to pick between the two guys back in 2010 or 11, maybe you have more of an argument. But it's 2020. Tom Brady's 43 years old. I think he's still good. I don't think he's elite anymore. Belichick, I still think, is the best coach, even though he has his flaws, whether it be drafting or whatever. They all do. But if you're committing to maybe even 5 years of Bill Belichick versus maybe 2 of Brady, then that really should be a no-brainer.
So Darlington was asked by Schefter to rank the spots where Tom Brady may end up playing.
If you're asking me to put odds on this thing, I say Titans and Raiders, and then I say Patriots, and then I put down the list teams like the Chargers, the Dolphins, and some of those other names.
The wild cards. The wild cards.
Certainly the wild cards. But
the field. The field, Jeff.
The field, exactly. And I would put the Patriots, though, somewhere pretty close behind, though, the Titans and the Raiders, if you're asking me to put odds on this thing.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think the Titans... I can't speak to the Raiders necessarily. I don't know how good the Raiders would be. The Titans.
I don't think they're going to be very good. And
if they had Brady, though, they're a playoff.
Well,
team.
They'll be better.
Yeah,
but I don't think they're a championship caliber team, even if Tom Brady's the quarterback.
I mean, they won 7 games last year without Brady, and so if they, you know, if they get Brady, I think that gives you at least a couple of wins. In this new playoff format, you're an easy playoff team, right? Yeah. I mean, either you're adding an extra playoff team, you're easily in the playoffs. The one thing with them is even with Brady, you're not better than the Chiefs. But then you could have the old argument, too, saying, well, there's not 2 byes anyway. So if you're not going to, you know, have a better record than the Chiefs, what does it matter whether you win the division or not, right? If you think the Chiefs are going to run away with it and be the team with the best record, whereas the Titans, if he goes there... I think you could make a case. Kansas City would probably still be the Vegas favorite, but then closely behind would be Tennessee.
Of course, the final question here that we're going to play you from the Adam Schefter podcast with Darlington has to do with Ryan Tannehill, who had kind of a magical season when he got inserted at quarterback.
Tannessence. Some have called it a Tannessence.
Some did, and it got way annoying. Oh.
Shirts made.
There were. So Darlington was asked.
It was a big movement, Dale.
You know, huge. you know, what happens with Ryan Tannehill here?
You brought up Ryan Tannehill. Do we consider him and Tennessee, I don't want to say a foregone conclusion, but a likely match?
I do not. I don't
you do not?
Only because I put the Titans and the Raiders right now as the front runners for Tom Brady's services. And as a result of that, that would leave Tannehill as the odd man out if Mike Vrabel does try to create a reunion with his friend Tom Brady in Tennessee.
Would you guys rule out a switcheroo at the quarterback spot? Ryan Tannehill here, Tom Brady there.
I would love that.
I know that you would love it, but I don't think you can rule it out. Again, if you start to go through some of these teams, Drew Brees is already staying. You know, Jameis Winston could end up staying. Maybe on the he could get tagged and stay in Tampa Bay.
Dak Prescott. Why would they want him?
Well, who are they going to get?
I understand.
So Dak Prescott could go to Dallas, or I'm sorry, stay in Dallas. Phillip Rivers would be one guy that's on the move, but maybe he or Teddy Bridgewater go to Miami. So all of a sudden, I like Tannehill, but if these spots start filling up and Tennessee doesn't want him back, because if Brady doesn't go to Tennessee, I think Tannehill is back. I think they liked what he did, and I think they figure out a way to get him and Henry under contract, and then that's what they do. But if they get him, then he becomes available, and you could do a whole lot worse. If Bill Belichick had Ryan Tannehill, they'd definitely make the playoffs, and they probably win the division again. So I wouldn't hate a switch.
Does Tannehill just slide right in and run the same offensive scheme that Brady's been running here? Because let's be honest, they've had the same offense here for all 20 of Brady's years.
Yeah, probably not, because you can run with Tannehill a little bit more. So I think you would probably take... Because, again, you still have Josh McDaniels running it, but McDaniels is also the same guy who drafted Tebow. Now, as wrong as that was, he clearly was looking for a mobile quarterback. There were reports that he was interested, whether he was or wasn't, or it was just for intel. You know, they worked out Lamar Jackson before the draft a couple of years ago. Now, Tannehill's not the runner that those two guys are, but compared to Brady, he might as well be.
Right.
So I think if he did come in here, it would be a similar yet tweaked offense.
So let's give you a bonus, Jeff Darlington, because this morning he appeared on ESPN with Golic and Wingo.
The reaction oftentimes when I talk about Tom Brady leaving New England, he's not leaving New England because people can't wrap their head around the idea of him. It's time to wrap our heads around the idea of Tom Brady leaving New England because it is a very real possibility.
I've been
here.
Saying that for a while.
Yeah, roll with it.
I mean, people need to understand. Like,
it's
he's
more,
never leaving. I think you're not on the right train.
It's more likely than not that Tom Brady leaves the Patriots.
Yeah. I'm
That's not
there.
Saying that he could still stay with the Patriots, but it is more likely than not that he leaves the Patriots.
I'm with you.
More likely than not.
Yeah, I'm telling you, and it's not even getting enough attention. Like, it's the biggest story ever that he could go and play somewhere else. And because, Dale, you're on the stay side, correct?
Well, yeah, but you did point out that can change.
Oh, no, but
this
right
isn't
now.
Like, no, right this minute, I'm on the stay side.
You think he's going
to
stay.
But I got to admit, I'm inching to the left on that.
Yeah, board. I just think there's so much evidence kind of pointing towards the left. And that's Darlington's point, too, is he's not ruling out a return, but if he's doing one of these, like, pie charts or whatever, maybe it's 60-40 go. So, yeah, there's a 40%
more
chance
likely
stays,
than not that he's
but,
gone.
Yeah, right. Like that, and that's what's pretty crazy about it. And, again, each day that goes by, we're just sort of listening to what other people have to say about it. You're getting, like, a little bit of a nugget detail here or there. But business is probably going to pick up, as everybody has said, the end start of next week with the combine.
Yep.
And there's going to be more and more conversations going on. And you might also
agents
even
passed
get,
in the hallway.
And not only that, but don't you think that some of these guys that are staying, quarterbacks that are staying with their team, that's also going to start to filter out? We got Drew Brees this week. So guys like Prescott, Winston, Tannehill, down the line, if in fact they're staying, maybe we get that. And then those are just more destinations that you can cross off the list.
Yeah, if all of a sudden Mike Vrabel announced today that they've signed Ryan Tannehill to a new deal,
okay,
that changes everything.
And that would be very significant because Jeff Darlington, of all people, has the Titans right now as his favorite.
And the Raiders are right behind them.
Yeah.
Then the Patriots.
And they would have to trade Derek Carr. But, I mean, again, I think with this quarterback shuffle, somebody would take Carr. He's an NFL starter.
I wonder if Belichick would.
I don't think you'd rule out Carr. The question is, though, Tannehill, you just have to give money to. Or Bridgewater, it's just money. Or Winston, it's just money. Whereas Carr, you'd have to give up some sort of draft pick.
Would the most depressed person in all of New England be Julian Edelman?
Yep. Probably. Well, Fitzy.
No, Julian even more
Edelman
than Fitzy,
more so than Fitzy.
Yeah,
so that's
more.
1-2
yeah.
in the power rankings.
Oh, yeah. Right there.
Oh, yeah. Edelman. I don't even know how Edelman would play the season, to be honest.
What are we doing? Jules!
Imagine a full season he's got to play without Brady. He wouldn't know what to do. I don't think he'd retire, though, because he loves football too much. But maybe he would beg to be traded to that team. Like, I don't know what he would do, but that would be a sad season. So we had sad Tom Brady this year.
Oh, did we?
Sad
yeah.
Edelman
we had
all
Tom
year.
Brady after wins.
Yeah, that's what Edelman will be like. I mean, I guess it depends on who the quarterback is, right? Like, how much of a drop-off is it? But even still, for a guy like Edelman who just, you know, idolizes Brady, that would be a pretty serious blow.
It's interesting because, generally speaking, the way Belichick has approached negotiations is he hasn't. He's just sort of waited it out, you know? Mm-hmm. And in some cases, like Julian Edelman, yeah, go ahead. See what's out there.
Well,
come back if you want.
Right, and there's examples like, besides Edelman, Devin McCourty, Dante Hightower, there's been a few of these, go ahead and see what's out there. But none of those guys were Tom Brady. You can't really do that with Tom Brady, can you? Like, before he starts, and I know Curran pointed out, he might not do the get on a plane and go to all these places, but he might do a, hey, you guys can come to me and have, like, a meeting. But the Patriots are the one team right now that, you know, legally can talk to him and legally explain to him, you know, what they plan on doing and why they want to re-sign him. So they should probably get on that. Again, they don't have to do it the second. But you're going to want to do that before he's able to really listen to other teams' pitches.
The number of national people who are, you know, kind of following the lead of Jeff Darlington, perhaps, who are kind of inching towards that. No, I'm telling you, I think he could go. I was told at the beginning of this process, once the season ended, I was told that Brady was fully prepared to play somewhere else. Not that he wanted to, not that he wanted out. I think all things being equal, he'd like to begin and end his career here. I think that's his preference. But I was told going into the free agency offseason that he was fully prepared, emotionally and in every other way, to be wearing another uniform next year.
Right. And
because
that's
some of this isn't in his hands.
No, and I think if you're prepared, like if you've already made up your mind that you could do it, well, that's going to be the most difficult thing. You know, sort of like we've talked about before, when a player starts to really consider retirement, that's the next thing they're going to do is retire, right? Maybe they play one more season, but they've already sort of made up their mind and that's what's going to happen. So if he's gotten over that hurdle of I've been in one place for 20 years and he has allowed himself to think about playing for another team, well, it's going to be a lot easier for him then to actually sign that next contract.
I've said all along in this offseason that the single biggest question is, does Bill Belichick want Tom Brady back? And we don't know the answer, by the way.
No.
If he did, wouldn't there be negotiations? If he did want Tom Brady back, wouldn't they be talking now?
Sure. If he really wanted him back, actually, he would have signed an extension a year ago.
Well, that too, but I'm just saying, okay, we're in the offseason now. Yeah. You know, it's like we now know that Drew Brees and the Saints are going to work out a deal.
Unless for some reason Brady made it clear to them that he really wanted to be a free agent for the first time, and then do you just respect his wishes on that and say, all right, you're a free agent. This is what comes with being a free agent. You get to talk to other teams. You get to figure that out. Maybe they already know that that's what he wants.
Or wouldn't they have at least said, hey, Tom, just so you know, we want to get a deal done here.
Yeah.
You know, we want to, you know, you do what you need to do, but we want to get this thing going here because, again, we go back to the March 16th deadline as opposed to March 18th. Makes a huge difference financially on the cap for the Patriots. If Bill Belichick wanted him, they'd already be talking, I think.
Yeah, you might be right. And do you think that Brady would, let's say he falls in love with the first pitch he gets on like March 16th during the legal tampering, and say it's the Titans, Jeff Darlington's Titans, and they blow him away. They're like, this is what we're going to do, Derrick Henry, but not only Derrick Henry, Antonio Brown, and this, and 3 years, and, this, and they go crazy. Do you think after 20 years, he turns around and talks to the Patriots and says, what's your final pitch? Who are we getting? Or do you think he signs right there with the Titans?
I think he signs with the Titans.
I think he might, too. I think he's been through enough.
Because I think Brady is also saying what I just said. If they wanted me, wouldn't
Where
they
have
be
you guys been?
Wouldn't they be talking to me?
Yeah. That's what I think.
If Bill Belichick wanted me to be the quarterback for the Patriots next season, wouldn't we be talking? Now, maybe they are, and we don't know it. I have a hard time believing that, but
could be. There's so many people out there that I think it would have been reported by now, right? Like both sides have so many different people, and you know, 2 degrees separation, different people in the media that they would have talked, right? Whether it's Darlington or Giardi or Curran or Schefter or somebody would have alluded to that,
right?
Right, they would have been like, oh yeah, they really want him back, because the fact that we haven't heard that, all we've heard is Kraft, like those TMZ videos where Kraft's like, it's our plan to bring him back. Then there was that one report that said they would go to $30 million, but then the very next day,
none of us believed.
Not only that, but the very next day, they're like, both sides are pissed that this got out, and they're like, I don't know where this came from, and nobody's happy with this.
There was the comment of Brady to Jim Gray that they've talked. But then it was clear that they haven't negotiated. They've talked. Talked like
an end of season.
How you doing?
Type of
everything okay?
Thing. Yeah. They have not gotten into specifics. It doesn't sound like yet. Which I don't know. You would think clearly Drew Brees and the Saints had some conversations, because Drew Brees doesn't just take to Instagram like, "Hey guys, guess what? I'm back." Right. So that was the situation where the Saints wanted him back. Drew Brees maybe took a little bit of time to consider whether or not he wanted to retire or not. Says, you know what, I'm back. And then he goes to Instagram and says he's back. That is clearly not the case here in New England.
Yesterday when Wiggy was in here, we had this discussion about the whole Houston Astros cheating situation. And Wiggy didn't think that many players were speaking out about the cheating. I think it's actually a fair number. And certainly big names who have said stuff. A not-so-big name is unloading, even as we speak, at JetBlue Park in Fort Myers. You will hear what Jonathan Lucroy has to say.
Lucroy, the newest member of the Red Sox.
About the Houston Astros. When we come back in just a couple of minutes, we'll talk to Brian Scalabrine at 1:10. It's Dale and Keefe, and it's time to trend.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now back. Don't bleep and sugarcoat this, Arnold.
To Dale and Keith.
Why are we yelling?
This is WEEI.
So when Fires comes out, is that a relief for you?
Whenever I saw it, I read it, I was like, oh boy, here we go. And people were calling me, and I was like, look, I've known about that for 2 years. You know, for guys that been playing against them, you know, we would spread around. I would text people and be like, hey, just so you know, this is what's going on. And, you know, so it got around baseball pretty quick.
So that's Jonathan Lucroy. He played for Ron Renicki in Milwaukee. He was an all-star catcher in Milwaukee. He also played for the Rangers and the A's. And today, he's a non-roster invitee. He signed a minor league deal with the Red Sox, probably because Ron Renicki wanted him. Renicki called him and offered him a minor league deal. So let's just say that he didn't hold much back today when he was asked about the whole sign-stealing situation with the Houston Astros.
I knew about that 2 years ago. It was going on. And I know it just recently came out. Everybody in baseball, especially in that division that played against them, we were all aware of the Astros doing those things. And it was up to us to, you know, outsmart them, I guess you could say, which is kind of hard when you have a computer program that breaks your signs. But, you know, we actively changed signs. Almost every pitch we were changing signs. And you had to, because they had them. They would relay them to second. They were stealing them from first, too, from between your legs. So they were actively, they had a very intricate system going on. We were well aware of it. And it was a challenge, especially very, very, it was a mental challenge to really overcome that.
See, it's funny because he's one of the few guys that's in Red Sox camp that can talk about the Astros.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't on the Red Sox in 2018. And all the other guys are probably terrified. Now, I know some of them have said, oh, you're not going to find anything here. But what teams have really blasted the Astros? All of them but the Red Sox, it seems like. Have any of the Red Sox really gone nuts and said Altuve this and the Astros that and tainted this, tainted that? No, that's because they have an investigation going on in their own right. And maybe they didn't cheat the same way, but let's be honest, they cheated. Whereas Jonathan Lucroy comes in, he played against them on a couple of different teams. Now, he's bounced around the league, so he's played on a lot of different teams recently. But Lucroy can say whatever he wants. He's not under investigation. He has no idea what's going on in 2018. Plus, a lot of these guys that are on the Red Sox right now still really, really like Alex Cora.
Yep.
And they're in a really weird spot because Alex Cora was a huge part of this thing that has completely tainted baseball.
I'm not sure if I've heard this particular point before, but one of the things Lucroy claimed today, talking to the media down at JetBlue Park, is that they told Major League Baseball, and Major League Baseball didn't do anything about it.
It was crazy. Some of the pitches they would take, it was like, man, these guys are the best hitters I've ever seen, you know, and it's like I said, it all made sense whenever I found out, whenever we found out how they were doing it. It all made sense. And then it was like, what are you going to do? I was with Oakland then, and we had let MLB know, and they had just called and said something. They kind of just said something to them. They didn't go through the whole investigation. It wasn't until Fires came out publicly that they went and looked at it really hard.
I mean, that proves what a lot of us have thought, is that Major League Baseball tried to look the other way.
Oh, they wanted it to
desperately
go away.
And that's why Rob Manfred, who has had a terrible week and seems like a terrible commissioner, and he's in over his head. And I've
already said, I think there's a chance he does lose his job.
I think there is a chance. But he had, and he said this without laughing, which I guess I'd give him credit for. He said, when he was trying to defend Mike Fiers, he said that he thinks Major League Baseball would have put a stop to it eventually on their own. Like, give
and
him. Right?
I don't believe.
Like, who?
I don't who believe
would,
that at
Who
all.
Would believe him? So, I mean, he's been an absolute fraud during all this. But Jonathan Lucroy, it's interesting to come from that perspective of a guy that was in that division, played against the Astros all the time. They all knew about it, which proves that most of baseball would know about it. There's no like.
Well, he
secret
said
like that
he would tell other guys yeah. around the league. He'd text guys and, hey, just so you know.
But super damning for Manfred, who was the commissioner then, that they were told, and they sort of gave the old, hey, just knock it off, would you? And obviously they didn't, and they were able to keep on doing it and keep on winning.
So he said he's known for a couple of years that they were doing this, that he had known about it for a couple of years prior to that. But he was asked if it was Mike Fiers who actually confirmed it for him.
Yeah, that's how I found out. But we knew they were stealing signs before, because you'd be back there catching, and they'd be whistling or yelling or... And I'm always listening for those things, because guys do it all the time. They'll whistle, like if I set up outside, they'll whistle, or they'll whistle location, or they'll call their last name or their number for location, you know, if I go in or out. So you'll see catchers setting up late, and so guys don't have the time to do that. But I knew they were doing all that, which a lot of teams do that. You know, that's okay. That's on the field. On the field is one thing. You know, that's fair game. That's part of it. You know, but when you're talking about doing it the way they were with the trash can, that's That's pretty tough.
Did you hear the trash can?
No. It makes sense. I mean, it was a great idea for them, I guess, because you don't... I'm not sitting here listening for something banging in the trash can.
Yeah, because he's like, he picks up on the calling off the number, calling out the name, and they're not dumb. Like, the guy in the on-deck circle, you know, this isn't, you know, Little League Baseball. We're like, come on, Jimmy, let's go, Jimmy. Like, if he's saying, like, hey, Altuve, like, maybe it means it's low, maybe whatever their scheme was at the time. But as a catcher, you have to be hyper-aware of it. So Lucroy was like, yeah, we knew this was going on, and then Fires kind of confirmed it for him. But, yeah, they knew everything that was going on, and it really makes you call into question. Like, everybody keeps going back to the 17 World Series and the 17 season. It's got to be more than that, isn't it? The Astros, the last 3 years, have been one of the best teams in all of baseball. They score a million runs. They had over 100 wins each of the last 3 years. They won a World Series, lost in the ALCS, and then lost in the World Series. I don't you have a sense that none of those years were on the up and up?
I'm now rooting for Jonathan Lucroy to make this team. And I thought he had a pretty good chance of making it anyway.
Yeah, he might.
Assuming that he was healthy and supposedly he had the neck surgery and felt 1,000% better after he did that. Because he sounds like a guy who will say stuff.
Yeah. But it's also pretty telling, too, that the Red Sox, I think, it's one thing for them to sort of deny any involvement. But one of the reasons why they haven't blasted any of the Astros is because you can't. And if the Major League Baseball investigation comes out, it says that you did something, well, then you look pretty stupid. Like, that's what we're saying with Mike Trout and Cody Bellinger, Nick Markakis, is, well, you better make sure that everything on your end is on the up and up. Otherwise, you look like a giant hypocrite. And that's why I think the Red Sox are probably, they don't have anybody that can just rip Jose Altuve, unless you're Jonathan Lucroy, because you weren't here.
Now, the other thing about this whole thing, and supposedly you're going to get the Red Sox report the end of next week, supposedly. We've heard so many dates, and it's been pushed back and forth and around and back. But there was a report out there earlier today that before the Red Sox named Ron Renicki as the interim manager, they reached out to Major League Baseball, reportedly, and said, listen, this is what we're thinking about doing. And they were basically told, yeah, go ahead if you want. So you would think those reports that have been out there that, you know, there's not much to see here from the Red Sox perspective. It's not as bad as everybody thinks. If Ron Renicki was the bench coach and there was a cheating plot in place here, he'd have to have known about it. And if Major League Baseball, in fact, told the Red Sox, no, it's okay, go ahead, you've got to believe that those folks who've been saying there's not much going with this report may be right.
Why make him the interim manager then?
My guess is because Alex Cora may be the manager a year from now.
Yeah. I mean, Chaim Bloom said that they haven't even discussed that.
Yeah, I know.
Not that part
he also said
not.
that you know, giving away the number 12
nothing
to Alex
here.
Verdugo
yeah.
had nothing to do with you know, Brock Holt being gone.
So basically, he's a liar.
I don't believe everything that they tell me.
Yeah, no, and you shouldn't. And that's why, I don't know, I think there's still such a stink on the 2018 Red Sox to me, and all the attention's been on the Astros, sure, but the 18 Red Sox, the investigation has not been completed, and I think it was Heyman was saying maybe next week you'll get something, but if they get punished at all, what does that tell you? Like, even if they don't suspend Renicki, and Renicki's fine, but they take away a couple of draft picks, what does that tell you? It means they were doing something, and all of this stuff that teams around baseball have been saying about the Astros, well, they might start saying it about the Red Sox as well.
So Jeff Passan was on Get Up this morning and talked about, you know, what's going to happen when the Red Sox discipline, or lack thereof, gets announced.
There is another shoe to drop, and it's the Boston Red Sox. And I think what this is going to offer us is an ability to differentiate between the types of cheating there are. I know that sounds a little weird, right? Cheating is cheating. But what the Astros did is, like, italicized cheating. Whereas with the Red Sox, they used the video room, and they are going to get disciplined for it. There was no banging on trash cans. There was nothing like that. And I think ultimately they're probably going to get some draft picks taken away. There's going to be a fine there. And mostly that is because in 2017 they were caught using an Apple Watch to relay signals to their bench. So it's going to be interesting ultimately to see just how big the penalties are.
He thinks they're going to lose draft picks and get fined. And, I mean, the Cora suspension, which will happen, may simply be because of the Houston situation.
Yeah, it could be. It could be. But still, if you penalize them at all, you're saying that they did something wrong.
But you go back to, and this was the argument I had with Wiggy yesterday, where cheating is cheating. Well, no, it isn't. I mean,
some of it, there's more of an advantage, I think, sure. Very clearly. And so, okay, but to me, they're both tainted, right? The Astros is more tainted, and the Astros, I would feel less good in Jose Altuve and Alex Bregman and George Springer and all those guys having a really good season and all that stuff than the Red Sox. But still, you'd have to call into question what they were doing. You know, they were clearly trying to get, you know, an advantage, and maybe it wasn't as obscene as what the Astros were doing, but it was, you know, Alex Cora was in charge, so it was still probably very much it was no trash can banging, fine, but were they picking up like the center field camera, and were they relaying messages even when no guys were on base, like what? And I don't know how they're going to prove that, like, outside of somebody in the Red Sox having like a guilty conscience and like coming forward and being like, all right, here's what happened. They'll probably get away with it for the most part.
I can't help but go back to Drelic, because Drelic has been, you know, ground zero for all of this offseason stuff. He's the one who got Mike Fiers to go on the record and say, this is what they were doing in Houston. When I was there, I saw it. And Fiers went on the record with Drelic. Drelic could not get his three sources around the Red Sox organization to go on the record, but anonymously, he had three sources who confirmed that the Red Sox were doing stuff as well.
Right.
Drelic's been the guy who has exposed all of this stuff.
Yep, he is. And I don't think it's a coincidence either. Those are the two markets that he's worked in, too, Houston and Boston, because I'm sure there are other teams.
Yep.
And that's why I look at, you know, Aaron Judge being so adamant that Jose Altuve wrongfully won the MVP. So what, the Yankees are in the clear now? You know, Carlos Beltran played for the Yankees. Carlos Beltran, according to one of the stories, showed up in Houston and was like, oh, you guys are behind the times. Joe Girardi. Do we have that cut, actually, John? Joe Girardi. He was on MLB Network, and they're doing like this little exercise. You know how they have that little like fake indoor field, and they're standing there and they're talking about how they can possibly like steal signs or what would teams do. And I don't know if Joe Girardi may have let something slip here.
You know, some teams might turn their back. Who knows?
So what did you guys use?
Right, right. Yeah. So you got to worry about it. And sometimes you got to worry about just how it's being relayed. I mean, that's the thing. Like, I was part of a system where it came from upstairs to someone in the dugout to the hit, to the guy in second base. And we eventually caught it.
So he admits to getting something from upstairs.
He says that then they eventually caught it, almost making it sound like, no, they were doing it. We caught them.
I don't know.
Yeah,
but
he did sort of
stuff. Joe Girardi was the manager of the Yankees in 17, which was the year that Aaron Judge apparently got his MVP. He was robbed of Jose Altuve. But I don't know. Sounds like they were both cheating. Maybe Altuve a little bit better, but I don't know if Aaron Judge did it on the up and up either.
617-779-7937. We get right back to your calls. We'll talk to Brian Scalabrine after the top of the hour. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI.
Dale and Keefe.
Middays 10 to 2.
On WEEI.
I don't know what they're going to find, but in my opinion, it's not anywhere close to what's going on here. The Red Sox were just a very tight-knit group. When I was injected into that team in the middle of the season, it was a lot like the Rangers clubs that I was on, where it was just a very tight-knit group, and their system was flawless. They just had a very good system at relaying from second base to home plate. That was it. I mean, honestly, we'll see what happens with the commissioner's report.
That is Ian Kinsler. He was speaking on 1310 The Ticket in Dallas. You will remember that Kinsler was traded from the Angels to the Red Sox at the trade deadline in 2018. He played 37 games for Boston over the final 2 months of the season. So he was here. He was here for, for, you know, whatever supposedly happened. And he claims that there wasn't much going on, they just had a good system of relaying signals from second base to the batter. Again, which is legal. It pisses pitchers and catchers off, but it's legal.
It's legal, but not if they obtain those signals with the video room, right? So just because you have a guy on second, is he up there decoding, or do they have guys at the video room figuring out and saying, all right, hey, everybody, when you do get the second base, this is what we know. All right, well, how did you know it? So there's sort of a gray area there, isn't it? When he's like, oh, they just had a really good way of relaying everything. All right, well, how'd you get the information to begin with?
Well, and he, again, I'm telling you Kinsler's story here. He claims, you go back, check out your at-bat on video. while you're checking out the at-bat, you know, there's a runner on second base, and you're looking at your at-bat, and you're watching the catcher's signals, and you say, all right, can I figure out what he's doing here?
Right.
Can I, you know, and again.
Which is illegal.
Well, that's the part, and yeah. that's the question for Kinsler. If this is post-game, it's not illegal. Well, if it's live, if you're in the...
I know, but that's what they're doing. They're doing right. it during the game, because the guys are changing their signals from inning to inning, probably, and certainly from game to game. So, but if you're in that video room, which all these players seem to be, and they figure out the sign because of that, it's one thing if you're on second base and you look in there and it's obvious, you go, hey, I think I got it, and then you relay it back to the hitter. That's been happening since 1900. But if you're using the video room, that's just not allowed. If you're using the video room for that, I should say, it's not allowed.
One more cut from Kinsler talking on the ticket in Dallas.
I'm interested to see what happens with this whole report, because I truly believe that they're not going to find anything that's substantial. And I mean, they might throw a small punishment out there because they did a report. And I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know where they stand on this whole thing. I mean,
right.
we saw where they stood on the Astros thing. I just really don't see any form of punishment coming out to the Red Sox. It was a very good team.
Well, you can't just punish them to punish them. You better find something. Otherwise, it's worse.
Now, again, if Kinsler is looking at bats post game, and he's saying, all right, now, what did I do in that at bat? And he's seeing the signals. You can do that. What you can't do is video live. Like, supposedly, they had a television monitor around from the dugout there, and you're watching it live and then relaying signals out to the batter live while it's happening. If you're doing it post game, looking at video, then you can do all that you want.
Yeah, but why would you do it that way?
Well, and my point is, you wouldn't be doing it for that game. As he said to the ticket, he said, look, I'm watching my at-bats. I'm trying to figure out what went right, what went wrong. I'm looking at the signals, too, and saying, look, maybe I can figure out what he's doing here. Maybe I can't.
But it's like a different pitcher. Like, I don't even get what you're...
But the catcher signals don't change.
Yeah, but I bet they change like every inning. They should change. And that's why you think there's mound visits. What do you think they're talking about? I think they're changing the indicator. So that doesn't even make any sense to me. Like, that would be a thing. So I think they're not doing exactly what the Astros are accused of doing, or maybe even have apologized for. Like, I don't think there's a camera in center field for the Red Sox, and as soon as the first pitch of the game, they already know what it is.
Right.
But if they're relaying signals from second base, yeah, that's all fine, except how did you get those signals? And if you look in a couple of times and you can't figure it out, but if you go to the replay room, even somebody who's not a savant like Cora or Beltran, if you look at it enough and see enough pitches, once you see, all right, that was a curveball, all right, at what point was this, you know, what time, when did he drop put a two down, when did he put a one down, and you could probably figure it out. And if you have the ability to rewind it and watch it and rewind it and watch it, well, that is clearly cheating.
617-779-7937. We'll get right back to the calls with you in a few minutes. Later on next hour, Brian Scalabrine will talk to us about the NBA and the Boston Celtics. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.